Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
the Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm yours, Mike Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.wordpress.com or blackathletemedia.com, www, of course. Riding shotgun with me, as always, my family, Gary Norse Gray, and Reggie Howe, although Reggie just kind of fade the black for a second. Reggie, get your black ass back here. Big G, how you doing?
Okay, finally got spring out here, but about time.
Well, you know, that's right. It is spring. I forget that spring can go from, say, the 19th to the 23rd, or when they actually say it is. And since it is spring, now you've hit on my favorite time of year. I am a spring baby. And we like all that good stuff. But two things I want to let everyone know. Last week, we hit on a very important subject, and that was the case for reparations. I had a guest speaker, one Professor Truth, who elucidated most eloquently on what reparations is, who owes us, and why. And it was well done. It was about an hour and a half. And we mixed in some music, and it was a great presentation. My problem is the reproduction of it wasn't that great. The sound quality on the playback wasn't that great. And since Gary, you're responsible for your own show, I want to ask you, when you play your playback, does it come back true? Do you hear it clearly?
Yes.
Or some
okay. If you do the records, if you don't put the records in the queue, it goes out bad. If you put the records in the queue, it's okay.
Well, I found that to be true, but more like accident, because the mixes that I make for the Sunday music shows seem to all be on point. But when I make one, or I use another device to add to the mix, it distorts. So it's let me to
understand. Michael, when you do your show, do you record? Do you do a recording? You don't put it in the queue, right?
Well, no, that's it. Sometimes I record in advance. Sometimes I will record on the fly. But in all the years that I've done this, and we should put out that this is year number 12 of the tree. We've been in business since March of 2012, and we've had 12 years of this. And Reggie, whenever you get back here, I want to give you a big hug and lay some good stuff on you. But aside from all that, I am annoyed at the fact that we don't get back what we put out. In other words, over the 12 years that I've done the tree, we've had opportunities to get other folks to listen in. Some people like the show so much, they consider it being sponsors and investing. And some folks thought that how novel an idea this must be, that we're doing our thing and we have a form in which to do it in, as my brother Tony comes into the mix. But what gets me is that we have provided information for a long time, and I would say it's steady information and it's good information. But I've been on internet radio now for 26 years, and we've done this particular show for over 12, and we've always had the premise that we're going to lay the information on you, and it's up to you guys to decide what to do with it. And we've been insistent with that. But it is not a good thing when someone goes out their way to tamper with it. Now, Tony, you've had a show for a while as well on our Blog Talk. I want to know, did you ever hear that there are problems with your reproduction after you've recorded?
Yeah, there's been little grumblings, you know, sound quality and all these other little things over the years.
Yeah, we'll see.
Which,
that's what concerns me. The gremlins getting in and doing what they do. Timing is such that you got to wonder why they go through all this, because it's your time, supposedly because you're paying for it. You're on the air. Do what you got to do. And if you play it back, it should play back clean. I got Reggie with me as well. Can you hear me, Reggie?
Yes, sir. I'm still basking in the glory of those Gremlin Tigers. God bless them. So damn proud of the boys. And this fucking Howard had to choke like a damn dog on the bone. Always got to have one in the litter. One in the fucking litter got to choke. Fucking believable. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess one out of two ain't bad.
In the category of unfucking believable, I got to throw in my cast, my contributors, my co-anchors. You are all amazing people, and I want to thank you for 12-plus years of this show. Reggie,
welcome.
You always add the human factor, more because sometimes it's better to laugh to keep from crying, and sometimes this shit is so fucked up that you have to laugh at it. And you keep us light in that regard. And for that, I thank you. I also thank you for your insight in that saying how important local politics is in making everybody do their thing and get things done better in the community. For my brother Gary, who is my... Gary is my mentor, so to speak, because Gary just does shit and keeps it moving. And when I was afflicted, I really thought I was fucked up for good. And then I would be in my wheelchair worrying about shit. And then I got to wonder, well, what would Gary do? Because Gary's used to doing this shit. You know, when Gary falls, he gets up. So the least I can do is get up, too. I've grown a fond of my brother Gary, and I love you with all my heart, and I want to say thank you. You know, one day I know we'll eat Korean food together, but I just wanted to say thank you for your contributions today.
Well, I want to thank you, brother, because you gave me the inspiration to keep on going. I was going to quit a couple of times.
We inspire each other.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem there. Like I said, we inspire each other. And that brings me to my little brother, Tony McClain. And from the time we've met, we've got almost 20 years knowing each other and being family and breaking bread together and doing shit together and complaining about shit together and kicking ass together. And I am so thankful that you let me be myself and let me write my way, trusting my style that I would be factually correct, but also tell everybody to go fuck off when I need to. And I even spelled fuck off right. So, Tony, I want to thank you and then some.
Well, I I've quit at least 5,000 times, so I got Gary beat by at least 1,000 or so. But at the end of the day, it was, you know, my three things were, you get the facts right. That's all. You know, if you tell me that Larry Bird's the commissioner of the NBA, we got a problem. If you spell cat with a PHAT, that's on me. But, you know, because the thing, when we dare to be a black organization, people are, you know, it somewhat puts a target on our back in the sense of the over scrutiny. And by the way, that final tonight was 88-81, Grambling over Montana State. They now will take on Purdue in the next round.
Purdue, stand the fuck by. They did last year.
They choked again. You know, survive in advance, man. And see, it's a little doubly sweet for Grambling because they're, you know, for all the people who have been moaning and groaning about some of the schools that have didn't get in and everything else, they actually won the SWAC last year. Unfortunately, wound up getting beat tournament, which cost them. So sort of what happened with Norfolk this year with the men. They won the regular season but got beat in the tournament. And here's the thing. They started this year their non-conference schedule. They were 2-10 at one point this year. They are now 24-11 this year. So they have, I mean, you know, they you know, talk about deserving and getting hot at the right time. But I just wanted to make sure we got that squared away. But all I did was just let y'all do what you do and just get the hell out of the way. At the end of the day, we allowed ourselves to be heard, and I think that's the most. I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, is that we were heard and that we have other folks who have gone on from there who are spreading the same sort of message. And what's great is that, thankfully, there are more forums since the time we all got started. So we're not going, you know, as much as folks may want to see us go, we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because it was about a month ago our site was attacked. Someone tried to hack in our site, as if why would they want to fuck with us? Now, we know they have problems with black media, but it's like, you know, you made a point to go after us. I have an idea now as to who might have been responsible for it. But the point is, we survived. We had the thing covered. It looks like our archives are back to normal, and we're posting again. So in BASN's 25th year, we vowed to continue, and we are doing just that. Now, because it is the beginning of spring, I want to realize that, you know, it's never too early for spring cleaning. And to that, we talk about the people who help us put the show on Blog Talk Radio. They have not necessarily been our friend in regards to getting things done. We've had problems with production. They've interfered in our broadcast. I can honestly say that they've interfered in us getting sponsors, because every time I lined a potential sponsor up, the show notes goes on the way I expect it to, especially in doing the Sunday Showcase and putting out music. Now, having said that, instead of complaining, we decide to do something about it. We want everyone to know that we are securing a second source to broadcast our podcast from, and make it plain, by next month, if the quality of sound reproduction has not come back to at least its original posting or not consistently sounded good, we out. So we're going to do a little spring cleaning of our own. So having said that, there are lots of people who have been involved in this process. I want to thank people like Robin Booker, and Bobby has been really gracious in putting input together on some feminist issues and some real hardcore street issues. My sister, Celeste Walton Kelly, who helped start this thing off early on. Even Diane Grassi, who's kind of fucked up in what she tried to do. She was valuable early on, and then she tried to abuse my brother Gary, and we told her no unkind terms to fuck off. You know, you can't help somebody who's frustrated about what they look like or how they are. You just let them be fucked up by themselves, which is exactly what we did. So either way, you're out. We want to thank Rhonda Harper and her sister. We know the fact that Rhonda took this and ran with it. She is a very strong sister, and she's powerful in her presentation of extreme sports and doing things that benefit folks on the LGBTQ, whatever fucking alphabets there are, in getting sports participation and doing the surfing and extreme sports fields. Having said that, I also want to bring up my man Fred, the professor. Now, Fred, he's a different kind of cat. I'm sure he called me a Yankee from where he is right now down south. But Fred brings a sense of practicality to the mix. He's a good thinker, and he speaks in real terms. I like Fred. I actually love the big mug. And he offers up a sense of humor which I find most appealing. So I know one day we'll break bread together and whatnot, and he'll try to steal the last piece of pineapple upside down cake. But thank you, Fred, wherever you are. If you get in here in time, I'll speak to you later. I also want to thank my brother, Patrick Farrar. Patrick was born a day before me. I think he's a year older than me or a year younger than me. I'm not sure, but we're both Taurians, and we both move the same way. He knows what he's talking about. He knows his stuff. He puts things in context. He's a strong brother. His wife is a really nice lady, and I'm glad that he is with us, providing and offering a forum where he, like most of us, he knows how to ask questions and he knows how to listen. And I love that mix between the two of them as he relates on subjects and brings subjects up. So, Patrick, thank you. And I'll also bring up my man, Eric Satterwhite. Eric has been around for a while, and I love the way Eric thinks. He's an inferior kind of cat, and he can break stuff down to the simplest, or he can really go off on a tangent. Either way, he always makes you think about something, always makes me smile. So Eric, I thank you as well. I want to recognize Reggie's cousin, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba. Oba has provided us some great stuff to consider as we covered a myriad of topics. I was so glad that He and his family survived that madness in Buffalo, and he's still moving on, doing what he needs to do. I just saw Patrick come in and whatnot, and I just finished thanking you. I was going to make you some lobster mac and cheese, but I got to tell you, I ate it. So, sorry about that. Did you not hear me? Patrick, are you there?
Well, I'm a living color, so what's up, guys?
There you go. I want to tell you, I'm sorry because I ate your lobster macaroni and cheese. But you ought to die anyway, so I did you a favor. It's too rich anyway.
Go on, please. What's up?
All's good. We are making the point that apparently it is now spring, and it may be time for some spring cleaning. And really, in terms of spring cleaning, the only other subject we can talk about is baseball. Tony,
definitely.
Does it really feel like baseball's worth talking about yet?
Go ahead, Patrick. My friends I've had for years, guys I've known in my life. And we were talking about, two of my guys talking about this weekend, about baseball. And I did a thing on my show a long time ago, an intro, talking about baseball, that there's two things as a kid coming from the black neighborhood that you have to be able to do. One, you have to be able to run.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, you have to be able to fight.
Yeah.
Use your hands. Got to use your hands, you know, with something else. And three,
that's right.
Other than that, can you play baseball?
Yeah.
And that was the kind of foundation of a lot of things when I was a kid growing up. Or facsimiles of ball, stick ball, handball, hand-eye coordination,
yep.
Which, quite frankly, guys, let me be honest with you, has diminished exponentially with
yes,
young folks.
Yes.
I'm surprised at the amount of kids that can't throw a ball to save their life and are on some baseball teams.
What's so crazy? Think about this. Arguably, one of the top three athletes in all of professional sports right now, his dad was a longtime pitcher in the
yep.
major leagues, and when you see him throw, you can see where the baseball influence is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we're talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because and I think all of us, because we're all innately, we're all innately still, part of the sport. I've always taken the attitude with baseball. It's like an old Jeff Red song, "Love Don't Love Me, Baseball Don't Love Us." Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
we love the sport probably more than we probably love the sport more than the sport loves us. And that's sort of a cross that we have to bear. But it's I'll say this, and I always go into every year, I'm trying to look at it optimistically. Although it gets tougher and tougher every year because the numbers go down. It looks like there'll be a little, barring injuries or whatever. It looks like the numbers will go up a little bit because. There are a lot of kids in the minors that are maybe a year or two
yeah.
away. I mean,
mm-hmm.
In particular, the Washington Nationals. Now they already have Josiah Gray, who's going to be their opening day starter. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, hey, claim him, Gary. What the hell? But that being said, there's at least, just in watching spring training this year, there's been at least three or four guys either on the 40-man roster
or were non-roster invitees that they're not that far away from being there. And I don't know, Patrick, did you get a chance to check out the prospect day last Friday?
No, I did not. I did not. I have been searching through some stuff, and I'm surprised by last year, but I shouldn't be surprised because they won the they won the division. The Baltimore Orioles ain't playing. They got some cats on that squad.
The scary thing about the Orioles is that they haven't even scratched the surface yet. There's still at least six or seven guys that are probably all but ready right now. They're, they did sort of what the Cubs did and what the Astros did, and they basically hit rock bottom, and then they basically rebuilt the farm system. Now with the Orioles, this was going back old school because they won the series in 66, you know, after they got Frank Robinson from the Reds. But you got to remember, from 66 till about, say, 73, the Orioles were perennial, you know, winners. So when they hit rock bottom, it was so surreal because it was, you know, it was sort of like the Reds and Pirates of the 70s and the Royals of the 80s. It was just second nature that they were either in the playoffs or fighting for a playoff berth every year.
And Tony, quite frankly, watch out for the Pirates.
I'm more worried about their owner because their owner does a very good Fred Wilpon impersonation.
And that's
what's holding them back because Charlie Hayes' son, Key Brian Hayes, he's no joke. You know, here's how good he is. He's only in his third year. He already unseated Nolan Arenado as the Gold Glove third baseman last year.
Wow. That's saying something.
Exactly. And Arenado, you could make the argument that Arenado fielding wise is the Brooks Robinson of this era. Although
I would say so. Yes.
Well, see, the thing about it is just that position alone, you've got Machado, you've got Matt Chapman, like I said, you got Key Brian Hayes, but that's becoming like what the shortstops of the 80s and 90s were, where you've got a lot of, and even with that, you've got the kid in Cincinnati, De La Cruz, and also going back to the Pirates, Cruz, who's a
O'Neill Cruz is back.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He came back, you know, thank goodness for them. He recovered from that knee injury because he was going to miss this year, but now he's going to be able to play. And
he had two home runs last night.
Oh, man. You know, if they get any sort of fee, to me, that division, I know Milwaukee is like, you know, the favorite, and you know, you got to figure the Cardinals are going to, you know, bounce back or what have you.
Right.
But if they get any kind of pitching, they, you know, especially now with the extra wild card and everything else, you know, and truth be told, you know, they got off to a hot start last year, but then the pitching just
reality
literally fell apart. If they get any kind of pitching, and see, to me, it's about how much of a commitment the front office wants to
go.
Do. And see, that's the problem
100%.
With them. They have a, you know, they basically, like I said, they basically have their own version of Fred G. Sanford / Wuhan down there, and that's what's holding them back. And see, they're one of, you know, unfortunately, their organization has they want to, you know, they're sort of they,
they sort of treat it like the NFL in the sense of they want to cry poor, but during that 14-year stretch between the Bonds and Bonilla guys and then the Andrew McCutcheons and Russell Wilson, I cannot think of my man's name, the catcher. I can't think of my man's name, who's the ex-name. But make a long story short, those 14 years in between playoffs berths, they were making a profit.
Russell Martin.
They were making a profit. And they've kept that same mentality. They put it this way. Think of your boy Jeffrey Lurie on a baseball level.
Oh, hell yeah.
And what's worse,
Tony, they're for DMs, the players. They give them food stamps instead of real money, man. Come on, stop playing.
Oh, man, please. Put this way. Meal money, they've been eating way too much government cheese. I'll just leave it at that.
And you ain't wrong.
No,
yeah. Yeah. But they spent
no
a couple of bucks. Yeah, oh, God. Well, they spent a couple of bucks on Reynolds and one other kid. Now, they haven't locked up Hayes or Cruz yet, but – let's put it this way. If the both of them or one of them get locked up for a big contract or what have you, then I'll believe it. Then I'll believe
I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
Major League Baseball, for years and years and years, started easy to Cincinnati.
I know you're going.
Okay, now this year at 2:30 a.m. in the morning, it's South Korea.
Yeah.
Look, I don't mind them playing in South Korea, but you guys start the season in Cincinnati or Cleveland
or in the States. And look, we all know it's a money grab. They are literally whoring out Ohtani so they can get that foreign crowd. But see, here's the thing. They're going to get that crowd anyway. There's no need
right.
to.
I'm
really
not
going to
wake
need.
Up 2:30 in the morning to watch a game.
Oh, no. Look, unless they're playing that son of a gun in my backyard, I'll catch the replay. Look, full disclosure, when the Mets opened the season overseas, yes, I got up. But, you know, I got up for the first one. I was like, after that, I gave them the first game, but after that, I was done. But no, this was clearly a money grab. And see, this is not even the only one because the Mets and Phillies are playing in London. I believe they have a bunch of games in Mexico and Puerto Rico this year as well. I think I can speak for all of us. I don't have a problem with them playing overseas. Just keep opening day in the States. I don't think that's being xenophobic. I just think that's
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And I have to agree what Patrick said about baseball skills being applicable with stickball, handball, and hand-eye coordination goes 1,000%. You are playing these things growing up, but more often than that, you are applying these things. I played on 163rd Street between Amsterdam and Edgecombe. So whenever I got together with other guys, I represented that block because I lived on Amsterdam Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can imagine how far it is from one sewer to another, you are a bad motherfucker if you are a five sewer player. And there's one guy, Eugene Robinson. He was a big guy. Everybody knew he was big. And he could put a hurt in a Spalding.
I mean, indeed. You
know what the baseball
big balls.
if you got a baseball dude, he hit the shit out of it. I used to play literally outfield on Edgecombe Avenue, and I had to dodge the buses whenever this guy got up because Everybody knew he was going to hit the ball hard. Everybody knew he was going to hit the ball high. And he dared everybody to catch the ball. And if you hit that far enough, it should be a home run. I can only imagine catching once a fly ball he hit, and I almost remember getting hit because the number two bus would have ran my black ass over. The guy stayed out there long enough to let that ball fall to the turf. But hitting stick ball definitely improved your baseball skills. I know Willie Mays used to hit the stick ball. I know Hank Aaron used to hit fucking bottle caps. Talk about hand-eye coordination. But the one thing baseball has is they don't know how to sell the nuances of their game, even after all these years. I mean, that would make a skills competition right there. But they've never tried anything like that. And we know there are a lot of players who grew up, it might have been a matter of poverty that they were hitting bottle caps, but they were hitting bottle caps. So why not use that into the mix?
And Mike, as a new ball player, you know what I was using? I wrapped the tape out of a baseball bat. In my backyard, I had a bunch of rocks and that had a highway to it. And I used
That's
rocks
right.
on the highway.
Me too.
That was my batting practice.
I actually broke a couple of windshields like that. Almost got my ass caught by
that
shit.
That's it.
Hey, you don't, you're not a real ball player if you haven't even broken a car window or a house. You don't even get your real papers unless you even broke somebody's window at least one.
Hey, you know, we played wheelchair baseball, right?
Wow.
And all you had to do was get the ball, and throw it to, and it does the wheelchair you're out.
And I played three years.
Only got one home run in 3 years. I was happy as a Gary,
knowing you, Gary, I know you would probably steal them bases until the cows came home.
Yes.
I can see Gary laying down a bunt and rolling his ass the first base. somebody said, get that motherfucker. And Gary flying by, and he got Howard State. I got Fred with me as well. And Fred, in addition to celebrating our 12th year and saying hello to spring, I want to thank you personally, as always, for being the difference maker for us in putting out a perspective and a thought process that makes our listeners ask for more. You do a wonderful job with that. And this Yankee thanks his country cousin for helping out and being such a valuable member of our team. And good evening.
Fred. You lose Fred?
I think he's busy blushing. Where'd you go, Fred?
He almost turned red.
And Winston-Salem red, mind you. Get it right.
Ram red, no doubt.
And in the meantime, Mike, about baseball.
Yeah.
Here's where baseball, two things. One about while they're playing overseas. The model that baseball is using is the model that other teams use, particularly led by NBA basketball. Man, that overseas dollar is something. It's out there.
They have the spread.
The eyes are there. I hear so many people who never let people say, I'm not watching basketball anymore. Well, they don't need you to watch basketball, man. With 25 million people in China watching, they don't need you.
That's the thing about all four sports because NHL has been playing like in Sweden and other countries over the years. The thing is, they'll appeal to some of the fans abroad. I mean, to some of the fans here on stateside,
But 9 times out of 10, they're gonna, you know, they will literally open up their, you know what, for the foreign numbers. And see,
yes,
think about it. To talk to even push to push what Patrick was saying, the NBA was the first league to start streaming games overseas. So
it's
they had a jump off, and you would have thought that baseball, considering all the history of barnstorming with the Negro Leagues and others back in the day, you would have thought that they would have jumped on this from day one. But as is baseball usually does, they literally, you know, they're day late and $3.50 short most of the time.
And Tony, that's the reason why that's the way it is. Doing some work with baseball and doing some minor league stuff in terms of marketing the game, you know, they have this pastoral attitude of baseball to where, well, like the movie says, they'll come to us. No, they won't. You got to go get them.
That's the thing. Their basic IRC, they begrudgingly do stuff.
Yes.
You know, see,
yes,
the 100%. You know, say what you want about the NFL. The NFL had no problem. I mean, look, it helped to have the Sable family do the work for you, but they worked hand in hand with that. They bought into,
yeah,
you know, whatever the mythology that was put up there and everything like that. And,
mm-hmm,
and in many ways, they still are parlaying that. But baseball never really did. I find it real interesting. This Week in Baseball is no longer a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the left of me. And they have a whole network. I don't get it. Now, MLB Network, they have shows that appeals to the kids. You know, they have their version of Red Zone online as well on most nights. You know, now, matter of fact, MILB.com, which is minor league baseball, they do more and more every year, but it's all, you know, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Now, the thing I am dreading are these robo umps. Now, look.
Oh Lord, please.
Look. We all know that Angel Hernandez should have been fired a long damn time ago. Now, to their credit, they've gotten rid of a lot of the Cowboy Joe West and others over the years. They let them retire in a sense, or they let them retire themselves, so to speak. So at least the umpiring is somewhat better. It still could be better than it is, but it's not as bad as it could be. But I'm telling you, I think a lot of the folks who have been screaming to have the robo umps, they're gonna have buyer's remorse once they do get there.
Yeah.
How's a fan, especially a betting fan, as if betting on baseball was hard enough.
Yeah.
But how is a betting fan going to handle getting his favorite player called out on third strike by a robo up and the ball did not look like it was in the strike zone? You know?
Somebody's going to get
about
shot.
The game being tinkered. Somebody's going to get There's gonna be
some robo umps that's gonna get the Lee Harvey Oswald treatment at some point because especially now with the betting. Although, you know, baseball betting is not even, I mean, it doesn't even scratch the surface of football. But there's enough folks out there where it could be a problem.
it could really be a problem. But that's the thing that's so bothersome. It's almost like, because if look, you go to like now, what's going to happen? And it already has started today. It'll probably start once the last once the game after the game tomorrow, after the game in Korea is over tomorrow, they'll be marketing the jerseys. They'll be marketing the jerseys. They'll be marketing, the paraphernalia.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Well, see, every year they come out with these ugly ass spring training
baseball hats. Give me a break. Yes.
And Lord knows you can't watch the All-Star game in peace anymore now because they have to wear these stupid ass jerseys. I mean, it's look. I get it.
You bring up a good point, Tony. I won't fit in on this since he's a catcher. How do you program a robo arm to pick out the strike zone? Are you going to set him or calibrate him so that he calls a high strike or a low strike or whatever the case may be? How are you going to get up to get programmed to such a degree that, this one is X95 model and X95's call low strikes, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Any kind of information that allows you to affect the problem.
What I think is going to wind up happening is once the pitchers realize how the strike zone is going to be set, then they're going to find a way around the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, thing is, I wasn't too cool about the pitching, the pitcher's clock.
It helped.
That being, it definitely took an extra half hour off the game.
Sure did.
I still hate that. That Herb Washington runner at second base to start off the extra innings.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But that being said, my thing is, I'll compromise. I'll settle down with the Herb Washington effect if you leave the real umpires in. As bad as they are, as whatever, I think the robo umps will be worse. And to be honest with you, I think that half hour you just shaved off, whenever they do come, I bet you that next half hour comes back.
That's good.
It's like they take those 10 steps forward and then take 86 steps back. And that's the thing. That's the thing that I fear the most.
And also, Ray, I'll tell you this much, which is emblematic of a lot of leagues, but particularly for baseball, which they haven't done. One of the reasons why working in France with the NBA and for the years I did, along with insight and working with some minor league teams in baseball and in football, NBA has forward-thinking people. But more importantly, they implement younger people, and listen to where their perspectives are coming at. I don't know if they do that much. They've done it better in football, but I don't know if they do it much in baseball because – the idea of having little league baseball and things of that nature, that takes a lot of their time. No, they like the kids play the game, but are you really listening to them? And I don't think they have mechanisms to make that connection to really get the game another direction.
About the closest that comes to it, and I'm proud to say that I've been writing for them now for a little while now. A colleague of mine who I went to school with, Rob Parker, and J.R. Gamble, formerly MLB Bro.com.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you, they helped me rekindle my love for baseball again because it's not now there's some old heads there like us, but there's some younger kids there as well that really love it, and they incorporate everything, you know, hip hop, following the kid, you know, following all the players, even the players in the minor leagues and what have you. So it's put it this way. I used to always make the joke of there were, you know, I was part of me, you, Patrick, and maybe a couple of other folks. We were part of the 12 black, the last 12 black baseball fans left in the United States. But I'm happy to report that we're in the triple digits, adding the kids that are a part of this. And it's great to see because I think I speak for everybody here on the thread. Baseball's still important to us. It really is.
I still like the game.
It's my passion. I still like the game.
Yeah.
And look. There's a lot of it that should be, you know, and you know me, I get on, you know Booker T. Washington Manfred when he does some stupid stuff, but you know, he is leaving, I guess, after this year, so who knows? Maybe the next guy coming in will help.
Tony, do you know my man Jamie Harris? Of FM News,
yes,
with MLB now too.
Oh, yeah.
They're adding.
You know, it's like going home again, because you know there's a lot of folks I used to work with and seeing the young kids that incorporate and see what's good is that they have some of the ex-players. You know, Gary Sheffield's son writes there.
Yeah.
LaTroy Hawkins does some work right there as well. The thing now, what I've been able to do is I've been doing like historical pieces on different things. Like the first article I wrote was about the great black pinch hitters from back in the day. You know, Gates Brown, Cliff Johnson,
yeah.
Jerry Hairston, Senior, and
Gene
I just didn't get Gene in there. I was trying to mix guys, because see, I could have done 100. I could have done 100 guys. Larry Heisel, Suitcase Simpson from back
man
in the day. Yeah. See, it's, you know, I don't play.
Oh, man.
You know, my man, who's the brother with the Angels? Daddy Wags, Leon Wagner. Alex Johnson. Willie Davis,
I was going to say, you got Willie Davis in Dodgers and Tommy Davis,
yeah,
who just passed, God bless his soul.
Yeah, I heard. This way, the last piece I did was the case for Dave Parker to be in the Hall of Fame.
I saw Dave Parker pass, he's still alive.
He has Parkinson's.
They have to fix that. And only thing they can fix is the politics, because Dave Parker has the numbers. He belongs there. Pete Rose has numbers. He belongs there in spite of the crazy shit he did. But the thing that makes me concerned is you have areas that are, well, like where Fred is, where they're really networks for minor league baseball.
Yes,
to
exactly
provide a strong foundation for the pros.
Yes.
And I don't think they work those well enough. What do you say, Fred, if you're still there?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Still
must be having a hard time getting in.
And you know, just to piggyback on that, Mike, I was down there when they were trying to get a major league team. And see, the thing about Carolina has basically every major sport except baseball. But to offset that, they basically have, over a dozen minor league teams, you know, from the Durham Bulls and AAA to single A teams. And it's like, I want to say there's like 12, at least 12 teams in the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
And remember, they actually have one of the oldest minor leagues in all of the Carolina League. Mm-hmm. And I was living down there, I was lucky enough to do some work with the then Winston-Salem Warthogs, who are still affiliated with the Chicago. Oh man, the logo was hilarious. The Carolina League goes back to, I think, the late 20s.
Mm.
So they're one of the, you know, the Carolina League is one of the oldest minor leagues in all of professional baseball.
Yeah.
And then they've had, and look, anybody who's ever seen Bull Durham knows who the Durham Bulls are. But see, that's the thing about Carolina. Carolina has every major sport except Major League Baseball, but they make up for it because they basically have a part of about four or five different leagues from rookie league to A league. This seems like from the Appalachian League, from the South Atlantic League, which is, you know, everybody knows the Sally League. That's the thing. The crazy thing is, Mike, they almost don't need Major League Baseball.
Almost,
because 4 hours, 4 hours to the 4 hours north, you got the Orioles and the Nats. To the south, you got the Braves. So, you know, also truth be told, ACC baseball is huge down there. I was living in Winston-Salem, and Wake Forest was a perennial power. UNC Tar Heels have had decent teams. You know, Clemson was in and out of the College World Series for a great. And I mean, you know, Florida State, Christ sakes,
Lord have mercy, they serious.
And that's why
every April would go to North Carolina and Florida. Every April they would leave SIU and go there for a month.
They would have to, because you would have guys dying of
frostbite.
Oh man, look. Two words, metal bats, 32 degrees. I don't need to say anything else. You know, I'm freezing. My hands are turning red just thinking about it.
Tony, here's a question, Tony. Here's a question, particularly from the perspective of writers, because they can initiate some action relative to what I'm going to say. And I think it's long overdue. And it, like Mike said before, the politics of baseball will definitely interfere with this. But I think they ought to put prominently in the Hall of Fame my man from the St. Louis Cardinals, who started –
Matter of fact, that'll be a future article before this year is over with, as far as I'm concerned.
Kirkland needs to be in there, man.
Especially now.
How are they ignoring the
I saw Fred click back in. Fred, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear
you.
Yeah, I hear you now.
There we go.
Good evening, brother. And
okay.
In addition to asking for peanuts and Cracker Jack, how do you feel about minor league baseball down there in your neck of the woods?
I spend about half my work day across the street from the federal woodpeckers. They took the old Sears parking lot and turned it into a baseball field.
Wow.
The major piece is missing, as I see it, when it comes to baseball, especially for us, is there are so few HBCUs that are playing baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
our team at Winston-Salem State won a national championship, and the guys, as they celebrated the championship, they also were celebrating the end of the era of baseball at Winston-Salem State, which was about 10 years. They had, over 10 years, we had no losing seasons. We had several guys. I think we got two guys still in the minor leagues. But, you know, the sad thing is Winston doesn't have it. The NT and Central have baseball, but Central is there on the chopping block. Livingstone has baseball since pre World War II. I think Shaw and St. Aug still have it. Virginia State has it. Union doesn't. They don't have enough baseball teams in the CIAA to field the team because Clapton has an excellent baseball program. They play in a white conference now. Same thing with most of the rest of the CIAA.
But
as independent.
But you know this. The question is, HBCU, you're 100% correct. HBCUs is having a lack of baseball teams, but it's now the better base HBCU baseball teams has mainly Hispanic and white players on the team.
Yeah.
So
look at Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel them play like that.
As a matter of fact, I was in a discussion some years ago about the fact that Winston-Salem State had a white baseball coach who was actually an instructor who was working on his doctorate. And when they started the program, he went around campus and found about seven or eight guys who could play a little bit, some more guys who were interested in, you know, played high school. And even with that, he put together a decent team the first year. And when he had time to go out and recruit, you know, he did a very good job for us. But see, somebody mentioned ACC. All the conferences pretty much, except the HBCU conferences, have good baseball programs.
Because
one of the teams we used to play was Pembroke State. And I live about 4 or 5 miles, well, it's about 7 miles across over to Methodist College. Methodist College is a perennial Division III program that kicks ass. They won several national championships and played for even more. And way back when Fayetteville State first cut out their program in baseball back in the 70s, guess where they went to school? Those guys left Fayetteville State, went up the street to Methodist. At a time, Methodist was only 10 years old as a school, and it was putting together their first baseball program. A number of the guys, I know one guy comes to mind, me was George Ellis. He was all CIAA in at Fayetteville State. The next year they didn't have a team, so he went to Methodist and became a star over there. And then he came back to Fayetteville State to finish his degree. And so, you know, that kind of how baseball has become, well, baseball became expendable back in the 70s. Several, and I know one of the reasons Winston-Salem State's baseball program was cut out was the fact that, well, you know, we got the expense of women, Title IX, all this kind of thing. And for those who don't know, HBCUs bought into Title IX long before most white schools. This whole hogwash that's going around today about this girl, Clark. Well, if Clark, you know, they're very specific about how they frame that. She is the, she has the highest number of points for an H for a NCAA player because there's a young lady from Francis Marion who has about 500 points more than she does. But she was, quote, and I quote, but remember, she played NAIA ball, which at the time was the best, was top shelf, because the white schools the white schools still didn't want black students, not to mention black players. So, but that, you know, that's kind of how that's, they let it roll off their lips. Remember, she was NAIA. Well, go back and look. So was, for all intents and purposes, so was Earl Monroe. So was Bobby Dandridge. You name it, they were all, because they, the most HBCUs had dual memberships in NAIA as well as NCAA.
Right. You know, baseball's trying very hard to keep up. You know, I would say they're trying, but they're still kicking themselves in the foot because of the lack of promotion. And lack of promotion means lack of black ball players. Who, I mean, really, you used to see posters growing up. You used to buy ball cards and look at who was the up-and-coming stars and who were the hot kids in AAA. And if you got a gum pack, if you found that one pack that had a starter in it, you were happy. You know, baseball, it's like they've forgotten how to market what they do because they're so shocked that nobody is into it anymore.
And again, like I said, Mike, you have to have people who have vision and input from a younger generation. They just can't be somebody back taking notes or passing notes to somebody else. You have to get them engaged in the process.
Who would be applicable to this right now? Who would say this is a good idea to bring back baseball cards, even down to the crusty packs of gum that are in there? You know, they're lucky that Ohtani is here, and then he's provided a spark for a certain fan base. But Gary, do you think that this fan base will wear out if Ohtani has a bad stretch?
No, I think because of the way baseball is in Asia, I think it will go on. Because there's a big Asian population that loves baseball, so.
I'm curious as to how Los Angeles will pick up on it. When Ichiro came over, Seattle had an immediate start. He played well. He actually played up the audiences, but he wasn't somebody that garnered a lot of promotion. His play spoke for itself. Now we could say that Tony's play would speak for itself, but how fickle can the fans be in deciding whether he's a better pitcher than a hitter? And will they affect his play because some people are more critical of him playing as a pitcher than as a hitter?
Well, Mike, something you got to remember about baseball is, you know, you got pure offense, pure defense. And
right.
When you look at how the game is played, you know, we can name guys going to the Hall of Fame batting 250, but they were dynamite defensive players. Same thing with who can pitch.
No kidding.
And then some guys who could hit, and they were suspect. You know, in the field, they were suspect, but they could hit the ball. And
you're right.
Because of the way baseball is played, you know, you don't have a situation in baseball like you would have in football or basketball, where you know you intercept the ball and return it or shoot it to the other goal. You don't have that kind of stuff. But see, baseball became its own worst enemy when it got to the point where it didn't have to promote itself in certain communities. And when they got, as old folks would say, too high on their horse, somebody shot the horse.
Somebody not only shot the horse, they ate the horse, because I always wondered what they would have done if they had let certain things be. Now, we all knew that Doc Gooden was just as good a hitter as he was a pitcher. But I never saw Doc Gooden bat his right hand or his strong hand for a whole season. What kind of numbers would he have put up if they had let him bat as opposed to, you know, protecting his arm because some unscrupulous pitcher might plunk him on purpose and sideline
him? Well, not just that. You know, think about it. In too many cases now, I think they've gone totally to the designated hitter.
Right.
And based on the way they play the game now, they make sure that the guys, even with a number of guys, Remember the old Pirates? They had several guys who were good hitters who were pitchers. So at least two of them were black. And because of that, what they ended up with is two guys who were wasted spots as far as being able to go out and hit. And they don't make exceptions for that. For those guys who can swing the bat. And because of that, I mean, you know, I was a far better hitter than I was a pitcher, and specifically in the outfield. But when I played, we didn't have designated hitters, you know.
Right.
Matter of fact, I don't think nobody had the DH then. That was the late 60s.
Having said that, do you feel that the DH has hurt or helped?
Mm-hmm.
Are we better off that there's a DH now, or should they just left it alone?
No, I think it helps out the game personally. I think it helps out the game. Because 90% of these pitchers are just swinging in air, and more offensive production, I think, makes the game more interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wonder about that because for years it was a bone of contention. I don't think the numbers have indicated that baseball got any better from the DH doing damage than it did when they left the load. And we always have the comparisons that the American League and the team averages to go by. But I don't see anything that says empirically that because of the DH, baseball improved. Should they have just left it alone?
Well, Michael, what the DH did, and this is what baseball will tell you, in 1973-74, the average, batting average, was almost near 280 or 300, like real low. It was the lowest in like 30 years.
Ah.
The American League said, okay, we'll put in the Asians. The averages jumped 21 points. The runs were three more runs per game. And the fans loved it. The fans enjoyed it. So I think it needs a day.
It begs repeat. You know, baseball is trying to do all this to improve, but are they just picking shit out of the hat and hoping something works, or is there a real plan to make baseball more appealing to fans?
They got lucky with the DH.
I don't know, Fred. Do you see that they would have been better off leaving it alone? Or are you glad the DH came and affected the game like it did?
Well, personally, had they had it when I came along, I probably could have gone pro because
okay.
I didn't have all that fielding and stuff. Here's how I see the whole thing. Based on how it was done, it was done in a piecemeal way, without proper preparation, so that everything could be sort of meshed together the way it needed to go. And at the end of the day, it was almost as if they rammed it down everybody's throat. And remember, the DH was never properly received into baseball because you had one league said yay, another league that said no. And because of that, you ended up with mixed messages about whether or not it was good or not good, and then how it was going to be instituted, and at the end of the day, these mixed messages got into the news and everybody else. You had guys like you had the Chicago White Sox in the Chicago Cubs. What do they say?
Mm-hmm.
One says yay, one says nay.
You
know, Los Angeles and several other places. You know, you had the Mets and the Yankees in the same town. Yay, nay.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you end up with? Confusion. And, you know, I don't know if Tony's still on the line.
No,
I don't know
Tony,
how he is.
No, Tony's gone.
You know,
but you got to ask yourself, is it still worth the money? I mean, we all go to baseball games. Is it worth? Are we still getting a bang for our entertainment buck to sit through a game? And even with the new wrinkles, with the robo umps, with pitch counts, pitch clocks, I should say, and all the other stuff.
Mike, like so many other things in baseball, it's the way certain, these kind of things have been instituted.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bunch of big wigs sitting in an office somewhere making these decisions piecemeal, and because of that, you end up with a lot of misinformation. You get a lot of people. Again, getting things shoved down their throat. You see, when you look at the fact that, okay, baseball, once upon a time, baseball was far more popular than the basketball, especially in our community, because we had few, if any, places to play. And with baseball, you know, I was going to talk about those grand spots where you all used to play. And it's, you know, I understand about playing in the streets. I was saying that too. But see, where I live, there was this hayfield that was across, right next to our farm, and the land actually belonged to our neighbor. But somehow or another, every other week, he cut hay and rolled it to the side. Guess where we played baseball? In between the rows of hay.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we had all kind of fun. It didn't, you know, once we, you know, and like I was telling somebody the other day, once you get the bases in place, there's no such thing as a uniform field.
That's true.
What is it? 30 plus baseball teams in the major league. Every team has its own specs once you get past 90 feet.
Sure.
The only thing that registers the same is 90, you know, you got a plate, 90 feet down first, 90 feet to second, 90 feet to third, 90 feet to home. Beyond that,
that's true.
You know, the only thing that's uniform is stupid, in my humble opinion, is some of these stupid umpires who caught the disease that some of the basketball officials have caught. And some and now, as we've discussed recently, even this thing has permeated football, where the officials become bigger than the game. You know, that in itself hurts baseball. Because think about it. They show you this box now, right?
Yep.
You see the strike box?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what some of these guys be looking at, but I've seen guys almost get hit with a ball. I've seen guys where the ball almost hit them in the head, and they're still getting called strikes. Then you got to go and see the way they introduced the box into baseball, especially for review purpose. They made more mistakes than they used to make in football. And as things turned out, because he makes so many mistakes, it ties up the game and all the stuff that they want. But see, that's because they do certain things have been intentionally done that makes baseball look bad. But see, a lot of things, because I remember the guy that used to be the commission of the NBAC spent a lot of time working with kids,
right,
trying to get kids introduced to baseball. And see, so many of those parks and so forth that you guys in the city used to have to play in have disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, they're now apartment complexes. And you can't play in the way the streets and stuff are in those complexes. You can't play stick ball like you all used to play. Because you know, we were very good. We used to bat the sticks. It was always a fat one in the pile. You always pulled it out, stand to the side, cut it off. And see, you all had good sticks. Tobacco sticks have splinters.
Yeah, we did have good sticks. They actually made them. They actually used, they would tape broomsticks and turn them into stickball bats. They would sell them just as that.
And see, because of the way it was done, I mean, again, baseball, in trying to do whatever it was they were actually trying to do, they became their own worst enemy.
True at that. And as we finish this up, Patrick, I got to ask you, you know, what's more important, filling up a baseball stadium with a good matchup, or two teams just playing a good game and you don't know who the hell they are.
Patrick.
Are you there?
I hope Patrick wasn't one I heard snoring.
Well, while you're there, Gary, you tell me, what would be a better matchup for you? Just seeing two teams you expect to be good or two unexpected teams making a good effort?
I would like to see the underdog. I've always been for the underdog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the two unexpected teams. I would love to see the Baltimore Orioles come through. I would love to see that because they have been a long time. I like to see Kansas City Royals come through because they haven't been here a long time. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of seeing the Dodgers. I'm tired of seeing the Braves. You know, it's like, or the New York Yankees.
I'm definitely tired of
spotlight.
Yeah. I'm tired of Braves for sure. I never really liked the Braves and their makeup. I love Yankees because they're the evil empire, and they go and fix things and what they think is as fast as they can. But I do like the idea that baseball's trying, and we can't argue the fact that this effort, albeit a bit wild because they're going around the world, is showing that they're ambitious and they're hoping that somehow they catch a spark. Maybe it'll be because of Ohtani. Maybe it'll be because of some hot rookie. We don't know. The Mets right now, as Tony would say, they're talking about strawberry and good. And good, I think warts and all belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think strawberry warts and all belongs in the Hall of Fame. This whole issue of players and what they have done is going to be a sore spot for Major League Baseball unless the old farts that write about the sport fix it.
Well, you know, to piggyback on what you're saying right there, when my kids were youngsters, they lived in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get, because of Jim Bibby's wife worked with my mother-in-law. So when we tickets to go to ball game, you know, it was a phone call.
All right.
The kids would go, they enjoyed it. You know, my stepdaughter was cued into baseball to the point where she knew how to, kind of knew how to keep score and all that kind of stuff, which for me, with me, you know, I just want to enjoy a good baseball game. But they were into that, you know. And I forget the young man's name. He played for the Mets, and he got caught up in drugs. And it wasn't until that happened that, you know, both of them said, "Nah, we don't think we want to go see. We don't want to go see him pitch." And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, you support him good, too good and bad. That's not trying to get across to him. But at the same time, though, they cared enough to actually say, okay, if you were with him when he was up, let's be with him when he's down, and help him come back. And that kind of glossed it over. But literally, you know, there's something to be said for baseball and what they need to do, looking at the other sports and how they're growing. Because, you know, one of the jokes here locally, baseball, you know, all the high school teams in the area and some of the middle schools have baseball teams here across, matter of fact, mostly across the state. Well, if that's the case, where do those kids go? And I can tell you that the number of Hispanics and We have a few Koreans here because of the military, but there's a growing number of non-blacks in when it comes to baseball as well as basketball.
Right.
You know, and it's only going to grow because of something. There's something in the water that's making baseball more acceptable to others than it is to us.
Mm. Well, I think also it's the racial animus that baseball has shown over the past 25 years.
Right.
Now, when I was growing up, I could see Willie Mays. I can see Hank Aaron. I can see, whoever else. And now I have to search hard to get up a bad place now.
I'm with you on the racial animus, G, but mine is a little different because I'm annoyed that Major League Baseball dismissed the Negro Leagues, the players,
yes,
and their records.
That too, yes.
Until it was convenient for them to add to the mix. You know, I find them to be very hypocritical. And it's like, how can we agree that they will properly assess Dave Parker's attributes or Dwight Gooden's attributes or Strawberry or anybody else and say they got there on merit? When you've got writers we know don't care about them as people and would be the ones to stick the knife in them as opposed to allow what they offer and say, yes, these guys were great. I think that backlash is something that Major League Baseball is going to have to deal with. No matter how popular they think their game is going to be in the near future. We're at that point now where we're at final thoughts. Patrick, are you awake?
Patrick, are you there? I don't think he's there, man.
That's all right. He has the privilege of working to do that. But I want everybody to know that. When everybody knows that the old heads are really old. So when we get into it, we are into it until it's time for us to go to bed. Having said that, Frank, this is your last word, you lead off for us.
Well, I have very, 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 very good news report. I got to watch my nephew play for the state championship Saturday night. And,
right.
And you'll hear this name, Isaiah Evans, next year at Duke University. It was kind of funny watching. He plays guard.
What's his name?
Isaiah Evans.
Okay.
He'll be playing for Duke next year.
All right.
He led his team North Mecklenburg to the state 4A championship Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
He was MVP, all that other stuff. As I jokingly say, he showed off his uncle, the skills he got from his uncle. And his mentor got from his other uncle, on his uncle Max, played college ball at Kansas State with Rolando Blackman. And unfortunately, before he went to college, he had been in the airborne, and the airborne did his knees in. He made it to the Big Two. Also, I want to congratulate Federal State women's basketball team. They made it to the Sweet 16 for the first time. They got eliminated night before last.
All right.
But This will be the last time I see something really good about them because I'll see them in church Sunday. I see several young ladies in church Sunday, and I'm gonna give them a hug and tell them, okay, we're back at, you know, we're back in the CIAA now, so we can't be doing all this in public. But, you know, it couldn't have happened to a better group of girls or young ladies. And the young man who is your coach, about 15 years ago, he showed up at Fayetteville State in the early 2000s. And he was a junior college transfer who knew the game far better than he probably ever played it. But he was always one of those hustle kind of kids. And he took over a negative situation and is doing very, very well there. So now they will say, you know, get off your high horse, pay the man, and give him full coaching position rather than all that interim crap.
Oh, yeah.
He's more than earned it. They went 29, I think it was 29-3.
Well, that sounds like pay the brother action to me. So, yes, indeed, pay that brother. Thank you, as always, Professor, for enlightening us. And as always, go safe. Thank you for your contribution. And, Gary, it's your turn in the bow.
Well, we are going to go on 2024 March Madness. I hope, and I know it's not going to happen, but I hope there are 21 upsets. I hope there are upsets everywhere in the tournament. Because of what the committee did this Sunday is inexcusable. They excluded Virginia and they excluded Indiana State.
Wow.
Why? Because Indiana State and also Spartans, the Norfolk Spartan men. Why? Because the big schools demanded it. The SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, they all got five plus schools in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Every win, they get $2.5 million.
That's right. That ain't it. Mm-hmm.
Every win, they get $2.5 million.
You know,
so
every
you're
time
Missouri Valley Conference, and you only get one team.
Yeah,
that team plays one game and they're out.
You're right. You know, it's like rolling up to a cash machine. SEC rolls up five schools. Boom, there you go. You got $12.5 million. A Big Ten, another $12.5 million. They just ching. It doesn't even matter if the team is good, if the team is average. They get in on the strength that they're the Big Ten, and upsets are the great equalizer. I agree with you. I'm of the underdog mentality, and I want to see an upset. I want to see the small school take down the big guy. I want to see superior coaching defeat superior
also,
talent.
Also, I want people to watch the referees.
The first three calls when he came to school.
The last 3 minutes of the game.
What'd you say, Fred?
So watch the first three to five calls on each end of the court.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Hey, and now let's put it this way. Calls are non-calls because they got this thing now where they let you play that Matador defense, and you guys come in and it's just ridiculous.
There you go.
Hey, I'm gonna be watching that game. First 3 minutes and last 3 minutes. I'm gonna say, okay, this is the way it's gonna be.
Wow, good food for thought, Gene.
Fair to go, well done. And for this week, I'm going to I didn't do it last week because I had technical difficulties. But this week, it'll be Monday and Tuesday,
hard shit, it's always Lady Nine the Coke. Got to worry about that. Sounds like G is in a bigger mood, so drop them draws, ladies. G will provide. Having said all that good stuff, you know, we've been here 12 years now, and we've been doing our part to make our point about how important it is to have a voice. We've had those try to take the voice from us, and we've even had situations where we were victimized by our so-called assistant here with the site itself, where there have been problems that have multiplied and become bigger. Well, we decided this is spring cleaning time. There's going to be some serious cleaning going on if everything is not done to spec. This Sunday, we will have a repeat broadcast where Professor Black Truth will do his bit for reparations and tell us about who owes us why and the breakdown of where it went from the killing field of the American South to this very day. I don't think it'll be missed. I don't think it should be missed. But when we replay it, I want you to check for the quality of the sound. And everybody who contacted me about the complaints for the sound, you know where the complaints will be if it does not come off right. So Blog Talk, get on your GLB and do your damn job and stop worrying about whether that I was saying something blasphemous to Facebook or Instagram or who the hell else is in the mix, because Israel has the right to defend itself, but they don't have the right to fuck us over to do it. Having said all that, everybody have a good night. And as my man used to say, beware the forbidden fruit.
Eve and Adam had a garden. Everything was great. Till one day a boy says, pardon, miss, my name is Snake. See that apple over yonder? If you'll take a bite, you and Adam both are bound to have some fun tonight. Go on and eat. You don't wanna wait. The Lord has said in the beginning, everything is free, except that apple, it leads to sinning, so let that apple be. But Eve got tempted, so she tried it. And as all chicks do, he's a man, so he decided he'd just try some too. Go on and eat of it. It's mighty sweet. It's water free. Go ahead and bite it. I bet you'd be delighted. I hate to tell you all what followed. The Lord was most upset. Saw them making love and hollered, what have you to eat? And when they made a full confession, the Lord says, I see. I guess I'll have to teach you a lesson about not minding me. Go on and eat your bed. Get it.
The Lord made E.B. Adams, madam, have his kids and all. Placed some labor laws on Adam and he made the snake to fall. Ever since the days of Eden, folks been sinful minds. Nowadays they're even eating apples in their pie. Go on and eat apples. You don't want to waste
it.
Oh,
go on and bite it.
I bet you'll be delighted.
You always did it.
Now you're gonna get it.